Thankful for that. I'm glad we can go on vacation and get away, but I'm also glad we can come back in and worship the Lord. It's a good thing, and I'm thankful for it. I'm glad we've got God's Word to guide us. We talked about it in Sunday school. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and I'm thankful for that. I don't know how many times it has cut right through the devil's lies and deception. And today, when it seems like the world is out of control, it's just the devil using some of the same old tactics he's used over and over again. Get men to take their eyes off of eternity and take their eyes onto this present life. He's been doing that since the beginning. But I'm glad. My hope is not in this world. We may have some good times in this world. We may have different blessings, but I'm glad it pales in comparison to what God has in store for us, and I'm thankful for that. Mark chapter 14, we're going to be in verse 53. Mark 14, 53, this is just before the cross in the Hebrew trial. I want to look at just a couple verses here, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. But Mark 14:53, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the place of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bare false witness against him, but their witnesses agreed not together. And there arose a certain and bare false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." Neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answer thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for being with us. Lord, I pray that you'd use me to preach your word. Lord, take away the distractions. Open up our ears and our hearts. Lord, send revival. And Lord, let it start in our own hearts. We thank you for all things. And in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. So it's in the middle of the night. Jesus had been betrayed by Judas with a kiss, and they hauled him away like a common criminal with swords and staves. And now all of the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders are all assembled together. What the Bible calls the entire Sanhedrin was there for this trial. So Caiaphas, he was the high priest. His father-in-law, Annas, who they kind of treated as the high priest, he examined Jesus first, and then we get into this Jewish trial, and it really sums it up in verse 56. "For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together." They called many men that night to witness against Jesus, and the Bible says that all they did was lie about him. Lie after lie. And this is the same Jesus they had watched heal every day. The same Jesus who had created the universe with his word. The same sinless God that was manifest in the flesh is listening to lie after lie told about him. But none of their witness, none of their testimonies agreed. And see, that was the problem. They needed two or three witnesses to agree together for a man to be put to death, but there were none. They couldn't agree to anything. And then as their verse 58, they repeat something that Jesus had previously said. This is what they said. He said, their witness said, "I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and with 3 days I will build another made without hands." But here's the problem. Jesus didn't say that. You know what he said in John 2:19? "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." It's saying, well, that doesn't sound too much different. But in John 2, they answered him and said to Jesus, "It took us 46 years to build this temple." But what they didn't realize is he was talking about his own body. That's what he was talking about. Not the temple made with hands. So they misquoted him, saying that Jesus would destroy the literal temple, but he was saying that if you destroy this temple, if you destroy my body on the third day, I'll raise it up again. That's what he was saying. That reminds me of John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This is the commandment have I received of my Father. I love that. Every time you think about Jesus heading towards the cross, you could say, well, he was arrested. There was no way he could get away. Let me remind you something. Jesus was God, and he could do whatever he wanted to do to get out of it. And there they are in this sham trial at night. They weren't supposed to take place at night. They just needed two or three false witnesses, but every one of them was contradicting each other. And this, it would have been embarrassing for the chief priests and everyone else, because they wanted him convicted. They wanted him dead, but none could agree. But you know what? This wasn't just a trial of Jesus standing amongst the chief priests. This was a trial of true religion versus false religion that day. There's Jesus standing in the middle. And then, you know, the Jews will try him first. Then he'll go to Pilate and Herod. But here I said, verse 56, I'll read it again. For many bear false witness against him, but none of their witnesses agree, or their witnesses agreed not together. And you know what? If we held the same trial today and we had Jesus Christ in the middle in our court system, there would be many lies that would be said about Jesus today, but they would all be disagreeing. Just the same thing today. Well, you know, some would say Jesus was just a good moral man, right? He wasn't God, but maybe he was a good teacher, a good philosopher. And then others would say he was crazy. Nothing he said was true. It was full of lies and visions of grandeur and everything else. And then some would say Jesus was just at the wrong place at the wrong time, right? He just kind of made the people mad, and they took him. But you know what? Others would say this or that, but in reality, none of it would agree. The other day, we talked about the Mormons, and they would say certain things about Jesus. You ask the Muslims, they'll say other things about Jesus. None of them can agree on anything. And this world, there's so many churches out here preaching things other than the Bible, and they can't agree on anything either. But I'll tell you what, all of these lies that can't agree, the thing is, we need the Jesus of the Bible, the real Jesus, the one who is true and is right. And this is why the devil doesn't want a trial. You realize that's why he doesn't want to put Jesus on a fair trial, because he doesn't want people to study who Jesus really is, get into their Bible, because if they did, they would realize that if all of his lies, all of the devil's deception would be uncovered, wouldn't they? If you honestly look at one false religion against the other, you'll see the differences really quick. If you look at one way of thinking versus another, it just shines light on all of it, and the devil does not want that. He doesn't want it. You know what he uses? He uses self-centeredness for some people. You know, do what makes you feel happy and what makes you feel right. That works for some people. And he'll use, we see a lot of anarchists and rebellious people right now. Have you seen it on the news? He'll use that view for some others, and that's running rampant. And then he'll use religion for the ones that want religion. And the devil will give lies for all sorts of things. But again, none can agree on what to do with Jesus Christ. Isn't that what you're seeing today? When you talk about Jesus, people have all sorts of thoughts, all sorts of opinions, but I'm here to tell you, they will never agree until you get to the truth of the Word of God and who Jesus really was. Amen. The devil knows all of his lies and deception don't work together, and none will agree. So he doesn't want to put them on trial. But look what he does in verses 60 through 62. He starts to question Jesus himself. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to take Jesus' words and put them on trial. So you know what happens if Jesus says something they don't like or don't agree with? Right? They won't listen. Have you heard that today? The devil doesn't want to put his false religions and false views on trial. He wants to take pieces and parts out of this, out of context, and by itself. And when people hear it and they don't like it, then they just condemn the whole thing. Isn't that what this world's doing? You'll ask them, you'll tell them about something, and they'll pick one little part. I saw something the other day. They were saying, well, Noah, he didn't let anybody on the ark. And I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever read in my life. And if you just read some of the Bible, you would realize that ark was big enough for everybody, and he was preaching righteousness, and I guarantee that he wanted that door open as long as possible, that maybe one more would come in. But then one day Noah didn't shut the ark, God shut the ark. And I'm here to tell you, we're doing the same thing here today. We are not excluding, we are just telling the truth and inviting people in. But I can't help it if one day that mercy door shuts and it's too late.
That's right.
There's a real, true Word of God. There's a true Jesus. Here they are. They're trying to get things to agree. They misquoted him and everything else. They're trying to, they're saying all different sorts of things. But now they want Jesus on trial. So they're going to ask him. And we see that in this world. But verse 61 says, Jesus held his peace and answered nothing. They wanted Jesus to speak, but he didn't answer. And that silence, that infuriated them. They wanted Jesus to defend himself against all the accusations. But guess what? He didn't have to, because he really wasn't accused of anything. They were just spreading all sorts of lies. That's one thing we have to be careful of. We could spend all our lives trying to defend against every false thought and every false deception. And I'm telling you what, people love that. You know, the ones that come door to door, they would love to argue and reason with you. They'll stay forever and do that. You know what they don't want to hear? They don't want to hear the truth. They're scared of it. They don't want to hear it. But Jesus, none of their testimonies agreed. So he wasn't answering to their lies. You know, Isaiah 53:7 says this, talking of Jesus, well before he came, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus fulfilled prophecy that day, another prophecy, by not saying a word. But look at what Caiaphas pushes it even further. And in 61, he asks him this question. Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And see, just like the Jews did many times when they questioned Jesus, they thought this was a no-win situation. Right? If Jesus said no, he wasn't the Christ, then he wouldn't be the Messiah. He wouldn't be God. And then good, they could go about their lives and Jesus was nothing but a good teacher. But if Jesus said yes, then they would say it was blasphemy. So they thought Jesus would be afraid, right? He'd be afraid to answer. But Jesus, look what he says in verse 62. All right, when he asked the question, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus starts out the answer and says, I am.
Yeah.
I am. Without question, he's answering, yes, I am the Christ. I am the Son of the Blessed. You notice that the Jews, they wouldn't even say God's name. What they were asking, are you the Son of God? But they were afraid to say it. But look, it's in capitals, right? Son is in capitals and blessed is in capitals. They're asking if he's the Son of God. And Jesus said, I am. And they would have remembered, the same Jews would have remembered Exodus 3:13. Remember, Moses had a conversation with God. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of our fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And Jesus Christ, I believe, is the same one that was talking to Moses in the burning bush, is now talking unto Caiaphas and all of the chief priests and Sanhedrin, and they're asking, are you the Christ? And he says, I am. And it would have rang through in scriptures. He didn't say maybe, or will be, or could be, or it's possible. He said, I am God.
He told them that day. You know, in John, he had already made some I am statements. In John 6:48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In John 8:12, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go out and in and find pasture. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Let me tell you something. Jesus wasn't just a good moral man. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't crazy. And he wasn't at the wrong place at the wrong time. You know what he was? He was God in the flesh. He come down from heaven. Oh, why did he come? Not to just to play a few magic tricks or do things like that. He came to save that which was lost. He came to die for the sins of the world. And there he is on trial. And there he is in the middle. And they're trying to figure out who he is, even though he told them plainly exactly who he was. He showed them, if thou see me, you've seen the Father. He was God, and he was fully God and fully man. We talked about it this morning. I'm so glad that God came in the form of a man, because he knows the infirmities that we go through. He knows our weakness. And in Hebrews, we talked about it. We've got a great high priest that we can call on, because he knows what we're going through. We're not praying to a God who's just set up in heaven the entire time. We're praying to a God who came to this life. He died for our sins, and he rose on the third day. That's who we're praying for. And Jesus, you know, we think about this trial that night, and we think about Jesus being on trial. But in all reality, it's us that are on trial, right? They were on trial that day. We're on trial. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. If we stood before Jesus today, and you are still in your sins, he would pronounce you guilty today, and you would spend eternity in hell. That's the trial, right there. And you know what? God would be righteous in doing that. He would be holy in doing that. But Jesus that day, he chose not to defend himself. You realize something? When I look through the story from the betrayal and even before the betrayal all the way to the cross, there were multiple times where Jesus could have stopped it all and not went to the cross. Even though people say, well, they locked him up. Listen, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, where he had prayed oftentimes. That's why Judas knew where to go find him. Right? He could have hid somewhere else and they wouldn't have found him that night. And remember, when they went to take him and arrest him, remember, they asked him a question and he answered and they all fell to the ground. He could have made them stay on the ground. Right? They hauled him here before the trial that day. And all they asked, aren't you going to defend yourself? He could have defended himself and they would have been forced to say he's innocent. And when he asked the question, are you the Christ? He could have said nothing. And they would have had to let him go. But that wasn't the plan.
That's right.
He came and he chose to die. And in fact, even before Pilate, he could have defended himself there, but he chose not to. Before Herod, he could have defended himself. He chose not to. Why? Because he was doing the Father's will, and he had the cross in sight. Even the Bible says, before the foundations of this world, he had the cross in sight, because he had you and I in sight, and he knew our sins would separate us from God. And I'm glad that before all of that, he decided he was going to die for us. There was never a time he was out of control. He said, I have the power to lay it down. And I have the power to take it back up. We're the ones on trial. He died on the cross. Jimmy already said it in Sunday school. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I thought he peeked at my notes in Sunday school because of this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Right? All have sinned. But he said, I died for whosoever will call on my name. And you can find forgiveness. If we were to put Jesus on trial, he was perfect. He was sinless. There was no guile found in his mouth. And he was loving. And he did that all so that you and I could be reconciled unto God. So that he could forgive us of our sins. And he did exactly what God told him to at the right hour.
Yes.
If we were on trial, we'd be guilty. But aren't you glad? Once you turn to Jesus Christ, that same blood that he shed, he still has enough of it for you and I. And if you would just call on his name and believe that he died on the cross for your sins and rose on the third day, you can be saved. And he'll take that blood and he'll wash your record clean. We sang about it this morning. And then when the trial comes and they open it up, there are no sins anymore. Aren't you glad? In fact, it's a different judgment. As a Christian, our judgment isn't the sins, but our judgment is how we've lived this life. After we were saved, what did we do with what the Father gave us? You think about this. What a Jesus. He stands there in the middle. Hundreds and hundreds against one. Peter's off in the distance, afraid. Jesus is all by himself. Nobody's there with him. He could have gotten out of it, but he said no. Why? I believe because he had you and I in his sights.
Amen.
How else could he have endured the cross, despising the shame, and done that for the joy? Other than looking at us and looking ahead in time to when we'll be together with him in heaven.
Amen.
Right? That's the joy I believe he saw on the cross that helped him to endure all the pain and suffering of those 6 hours. But like I said, Jesus did that for us. They couldn't find anything against him. And even their lies couldn't agree on who Jesus really was. I'm telling you, you could survey this world on who Jesus is and you'd get the same thing. You'd get all kinds of lies and none would agree. But here's my question. What about you? And what about what you believe today? Are you taking the truth about the real Jesus? Not the Jesus you've invented. Not the Jesus who maybe the TV preacher has invented. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Scriptures. The same one who spoke this world in existence is the same one that's manifest. And it's the same one that John says is the Word. It's right here. This is Jesus. You say, man, I wish I could have walked and talked with Jesus when he was on this earth. I tell you what, we've got it right here. You can read through the pages of the gospel and it's as if you're walking and talking right there. But the best part is, after one day of seeing him do something, you'd have to go on memory. But we can go right back here today and we can read it over and over again. I don't know about you, Preston. Sometimes I get back to those gospels and I look at some of those miracles and I look back there and I, even though I've read it over and over again, I love reading it again. Just to see him open the blinded eye. Just to see him raise the dead. To see him touch the deaf and the dumb. To heal those with infirmities and everything else. Not only that, to watch and to see those things, but to hear the truth that came out of his mouth. To see the love and compassion in everything that he did. That's the real Jesus. And that's the Jesus that's calling on you and I today. That's the one that wants you to give him. Give your life to him. That's the one who died for your sins and wants you to come to him for forgiveness. That's the real Jesus. We put Jesus on trial. He is the way, the truth, and the life. This world doesn't want to be on trial. And don't put Jesus on trial. But I'm here to tell you, I've read this book over and over again. And as long as I live, I'm going to keep reading it. And the Jesus I read in here is better than any Jesus that's made up. And better than any Jesus I can make up. Why? Because he's real. I don't understand why God left all of heaven. But I'll tell you what, I'm just going to call on his name. I don't understand why he would die for me, but I'm going to put my faith and trust that if I believe in him, he'll take me to heaven. That's the Jesus. I tell you what, he was perfect. He was sinless. He was loving. And in the midst of all of those enemies, what did he do? He gave him the truth. even though they didn't want to hear it. Right? They asked him that question and they wanted to know. But what did he say? He said, I am. Right? I am. That's me. You got it. You're trying to get out of it. You're trying to ignore it. You're trying everything else. But Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. That's where he is right now, by the way. And coming in the clouds of heaven. And that's what's going to take place, I believe, before long. And the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what we need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And that's what the devil says. What think ye?
Yeah.
Right? What's your opinion on Jesus? You know what God's saying? I don't need your opinion.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't need your thoughts. I'm going to tell you who I am.
Yeah.
And you either take it or you leave it.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's it. That's why we try to preach the truth here. Because although sometimes we don't want to hear things from God's Word, we need it. It's the truth. We could say other things, but then what good would it do in times of trouble and in times of need? Oftentimes it's at a funeral, it becomes real to this world. People get up and say all sorts of things. But I've realized I've had to preach some funerals. And I've realized the only thing that I have seen bring real comfort is the truth.
Amen.
Maybe you've been following after your own truth. You need to come to Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe you've been having your own opinions on who He is. You need to get the truth. I've told people this different times. It was my second law school class. And we were talking about something. And I know for some it's been a while since you've been in school, but do you ever remember those people that kind of know it all? Literally, we're going to be in law school for 3.5, 4 years. And we're on the second class. Right? And someone shoots up and tells the professor, well, this is what I think. Right? You know what that professor said? He said, I don't care what you think. You're not a judge.
Right.
You didn't make this law. You didn't make this case. I don't care. And I sat there and I thought, you know what? That seemed harsh. But you know what it did? It got us to realize something in law school. We need to see what it actually says.
Yeah.
You know what? I've been carrying that over to God's Word. It doesn't matter what I think. What's it say?
Right.
What's it say?
Amen.
Quit letting the devil deceive you.
That's right.
And get the truth. We're going to stand. We're going to open up the altar today. I don't know who that was for.